The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
About 5 years ago, we got a package in the mail from an address I didn't recognize in Wisconsin. I opened it up and it said, History, Holy Trinity Church. This little book was published in 1906, and a man in Blanchardville, Wisconsin, sent it to us. And though we already had one copy of this book, his handwritten note was heartwarming. This was found in an attic in a house in Hollandale, Wisconsin. I thought someone in your church might wish to have it. As our 150th anniversary celebration draws very near, I'm very drawn to the early years of Holy Trinity. Mostly, I paid attention to the last 100 and obviously the last 25, but I'm particularly drawn to these early years. And though this congregation was legally organized in 1874, efforts to establish an English-speaking Lutheran congregation in Chicago started in 1855. 20 years earlier, our roots actually go back 170 years. Now, the best way to describe Holy Trinity's early years is fits and starts. From 1855 to about 1912, there were many trials and many tribulations. Multiple times, their hopes for a new pastor were dashed when he rather quickly resigned due to exhaustion or changing denominations or taking a new call with the seminary. So sometimes our forebears felt orphaned. Let me tell you, though, these early Lutherans, they got around downtown Chicago for multiple reasons. They were like nomads, moving from one location to another. After they finally had a church building in 1867, their hopes were absolutely shattered. Some of you can predict what I'm going to say. The Great Chicago Fire of 1871 destroyed the church building, as well as many of the parishioners' homes. They were penniless. They were homeless. Their devastation tested their faith. I imagine it was hard for them to believe that the Good Shepherd was tending their flock. And many scattered, and others just left the city for good. So in 1874, when this congregation was officially chartered, there were 37 members and $5.80 in the treasury. Yet it was a time of hope, and just about 12 years later, they built a large Gothic structure at LaSalle and Elm. Still there, LaSalle Street Church. We're taking a field trip there next Sunday. This was the large downtown Lutheran church that we don't have downtown today. But they never got over the weight of their debt. One historian noted that the wealthy downtown folks didn't step up financially. Their best supporters were those who had shared the trials and tribulations of their days of strife. So their beloved building that they had waited for was at risk of foreclosure. And that's what brought them to Lakeview in this neighborhood in about 1914 or so. As I read those early years, I was moved by the faith, the determination of our Holy Trinity ancestors. Today, so many folks have lost faith in the church as an institution. Churches are closing right and left. Many are on life support. Yet our forebears laid down their lives, gave their all for generations who would follow, including us. The main point of the letter of 1 John is a line in today's reading. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. You may have all the goods the world can offer, the writer says, but God abides in those who lay down their lives for another, especially those in need, especially those most vulnerable, especially those marginalized. There's a key phrase in the hymn of the day that we will soon sing. The life laid down, the life restored. The risen Christ, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, is raised in the resurrection. Now we are conditioned to keep our lives, to hold on. In a risky and troubled world, we will do everything to keep our lives from danger, to keep our lives from neighbors we do not trust, to vote our own self-interest rather than the common good. But we have a God who risks everything, a Christ who puts himself in harm's way for the sake of his beloved flock. Now, as you heard, Jesus contrasts himself with the hired hand, who upon seeing the wolf coming runs away, and the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. But like a parent who will do anything and everything to protect a child, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. God's self-risk is anathema to the rulers of this age. It is pure foolishness to those whose sole purpose is self-preservation, self-possession, self-aggrandizement. Our early forebears had a different sense of sacrifice, laying down their lives for something beyond themselves, for a future not yet imagined. One wealthy philanthropist once said, "The only things we keep permanently are those we give away." The life laid down, the life restored, death and resurrection, the message of the great 50 days of Easter. But there's another take on today's readings that I would like to bring up. The readings about laying down our lives. Tomorrow is Earth Day, a day to offer support for environmental protection, especially for the non-human inhabitants of our island home, this earth we love. Now, probably when we hear this text of laying down our lives for others, we will first think of human beings. But let's expand our thinking to fauna and flora, to the water cycle, to mineral deposits. We share this planet with creatures of every kind. Are we willing to lay down our lives for them as well? for future generations, not only of our descendants, but for the plants and the animals with whom we share this earth. Now, the animal, of course, in today's gospel is sheep. And we can go churchy, sentimental with sheep, which I refuse to do. But for ancient Israelites, sheep were their life force. Sheep were an economic reality that symbolized divine blessing. And we too depend on other animals and the land for our livelihoods. Sheep, then, challenge the individualism of our day, that everything is about me. They remind us of our ecological interconnectedness. So one flock in our gospel takes on new meaning. Not only people, but animals, plants, the land, the earth, and God. Christ lays down his life and death, and in the resurrection takes it up again and bestows on us his life-giving power and healing, that we may know life in its fullness. Like our Holy Trinity forebears, who faced trials and tribulations, starts and fits, losses and setbacks, Christ puts himself in harm's way for us, walks with us in death's darkest valley, leads us beside still waters when our hearts are restless, feeds us at this table in a world of enmity, and then guides us into an unknown future. Thanks be to God for our ancestors who led us this far by faith. And for this community today, for you, now called to lay down your lives for those who come after you. Not only people, but all creatures, great and small.